Alright, time for another DraftPhysics.com, DebatePhysics.com also, video presentation. So we're back with part two of the Veritasium conversation, this time on the subject of kinetic energy. So I did look on Veritasium's website for a kinetic energy video and couldn't find any. Looked at some of his 10-year-old videos. Originally Australian, you know, but it doesn't sound Australian, so maybe I'll inquire. How come you don't sound Australian? It's just kind of funny that an Australian doesn't sound Australian.
Well, that's probably because my best friend when I was a kid was a shed. And it was made in... Well, what was that? Some kind of technical glitch? Anyway, I was saying, it's my best friend was a shed, and it was made in the United States, and it spoke very good English, and so that's why I didn't speak Australian. And good day and such. Because my best friend didn't speak no Australian.
Well, I can totally relate to that. My best friend was a carport, you know. And, I don't know if it taught me good English or not, but, I never really talked like I was from Louisiana. Anyway, all right, so let's get to the subject. So, I've made these arguments, I've presented them to you. You know, we have the lever argument, and then we have the pressurized vessel argument, and then we have the argument from there's no evidence in the evidence pool. So I can't throw a big pile of evidence at you. You can't throw any evidence at me of something very simple. I mean, you know, is there more energy in a 10-ton train going 5 miles, well, a 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour than there is in a 10-ton train going 5 miles an hour? I mean, momentum says it's the same thing. That worked for Newton and Galileo and Descartes. They all understood the universe worked that way. Physics says no. That somehow the faster, lighter objects always have more energy. The bullet has 1,000 times more energy than the gun recoil. It doesn't work in space. That's another argument. I mean, if you're in space, you're not going to follow these kinetic energy rules. So based on all those arguments, you're not in a position where you're willing to say, yeah, okay, you're right. I mean, you can't see the argument?
Well, the first counter-argument is that, you know, we're about probability. That's physics is like, you know, P-word, and probability is a P-word, and they really go together. And there's just no probability that, you know, over since the 1700s when this form of energy was understood, that, you know, hundreds of millions of scientists are wrong and you're right. I mean, you're fewer than flat earthers. I mean, you're fewer. I mean, there's like the number of people who think the president is a lizard, alien lizard. You know, there's more people who believe that than believe what you believe. I'm starting to sound like a hillbilly. It's kind of funny.
Well, I would counter that a jury said O.J. was innocent, and, you know, what's the probability that they got that answer right? I mean, so the fact that there's circumstances and, you know, a history and incentives and reasons why other scientists, you know, other people would have reason to defend something that's just not right, because it's too much trouble or it's inconvenient for some other reason to accept the truth or codify it, you know, establish it as the truth. I mean, I could say that physics has plus and minus wrongly assigned, but they don't care because they've you know, worked out a system where it's okay to leave it broken. But is it really okay to leave it broken?
Well, that probably was going to be my second argument against you, is that even if, okay, there was some possibility in the realm of reasonable that you're right and we all missed it and we're all kind of stupid, you know, obvious mistake, and we're in denial and all of that, who cares? I mean, the physics works with the idea of it, and it clearly expands the information base and creates more physics, so why would I find any need in correcting something that's not causing any problems? You're the only one with a problem. Well, I guess I might counter argue that if I am the only one with a problem and I am right, then I'm the only one with integrity and I'm the only one who cares about the actual truth and, you know, science having something like integrity. What's the point of doing physics if it's just going to be, to use the word that fits, if it's just going to be another religion, just another made-up story full of made-up little axioms that you convert into some sort of theme that somehow makes sense, like there's a God and there's a heaven and a hell and we'll make up this whole little story, and all you've done is the same thing in physics. You've created a false premise. It allows you to create all infinite amounts of energy, and you just pretend that none of those abstract infinite amount of energies ever are in the real world, because you never do those experiments. You just keep it all hidden. You know, I mean, I pointed out to you the Mythbusters video. I mean, it clearly shows that kinetic energy doesn't happen, okay, that the 1/2 mv² stuff just doesn't happen. You collide stuff with twice the velocity, you get twice the amount of pressure and compression, and it shows in both cars when you smash them into each other, and it shows in the clay, and you can just make the argument about how certainly it would show in any kind of hydraulics, any kind of pressure argument, any device that transfers pressure from one place to another will transfer momentum from one place to another, and it won't transfer kinetic energy. Well, again, you're sort of making my point for me, is that the physics works without us noticing it. So let's just say, okay, we didn't notice it. It doesn't really going to change anything. I mean, nobody's life depends on these kind of answers being explicitly correct. And a whole bunch of really interesting physics depends on, you know, kind of just leaving it the way it is, because it's, you know, to have to rewrite all the textbooks to fix plus and minus and to say, okay, it's just momentum, it's not kinetic energy. This is all just a bunch of wasted time, because you won't get anything. There won't be any benefit created in terms of it won't do the physics any good.
Well, I guess you could say that's one of these places we have a fundamental disagreement, because, you know, I don't think utility should have anything to do with describing the truth. The truth might be is that, you know, you're ugly and you smell, and you're not going to do anything about it if nobody tells you the truth. So, yeah, all the little lies might have some purpose or some utility, but there's a principle underlying it. And I think the principle is you're more likely to have a positive outcome getting it, you know, combining facts rather than fables. And science should be kind of focused on trying its best to, you know, never establish as a fact a fable. And, yeah, it's important.
Well, I kind of object to being pigeonholed as being anti-fact or the truth, when all I'm saying is that you can be more general And it is possible to have duality in your definitions of the truth, circumstantially. And that there are, in fact, times when it's good to point out the truth, and it's good in other times to be more ambiguous about the truth. And it works in the physics, and that's the important thing, is that it works for the scientific progress. We make scientific progress because we don't pay too much attention to plus and minus being a little bit fudgy. And momentum versus kinetic energy, well, whatever. Who cares? Use whatever you need when you need it. Wave, particle. This is just what physics does. It doesn't mean physics doesn't like the truth. It just means that it's pretending in a way that the truth is ambiguous and unknown, certain, with no certainty. And I don't think that means they don't like the truth. It just means that they're calling the truth it's a five-letter word instead of a four-letter word, something like that.
Well, I think that gets to the whole point of my objection, is that there's no room for that ambiguity anymore. I mean, we have the tools to know that it's not the truth. So the wave-particle duality, I would argue that I've made arguments that kind of refute it entirely, that there is no problem with particle theory explaining wave functions. And likewise, in this case of kinetic energy, there's, clear thought experiments at minimum, and there's clearly some physical evidence. It's just that physics hasn't deliberately created it, so it's all accidental evidence. It's just a fact that levers convert momentum. They don't convert kinetic energy, because if they did, they would make free energy. That guns do obey Newton's laws, which means the bullet has just as much energy as the recoil of the gun. And it doesn't have 1,000 times more energy. The fact is, the energy is more concentrated. It can do more interesting thing because of the concentration of the energy into a smaller location. But it's not more energy. It's not more ability to move matter in the universe. It's not more force. It's not more capacity. And those truths are now clear. In my opinion, I mean, I've made them clear. They're kind of beyond reasonable contention or argument, so there really shouldn't be an argument. It should be resolved that ambiguity that allows the freedom to believe lots of different things doesn't exist anymore, and you can't keep using it as an excuse to go in directions that really aren't going to be fertile, because you've demonstrated the premise isn't true.
Well, I would counter that, like, going to the moon, like, invented Tang, and you could argue, well, Tang is trivial, going to the moon is important. Well, I would argue that the same opposite thing could happen, where maybe you could end up going to the moon by trying to invent Tang. That you can have wrong understanding as a premise, and that wrong understanding allows you to attempt something that seems theoretically impossible. So you could argue, like, they would have never invented airplane flight or something because everybody said it was impossible, blah, blah, blah. And so there's lots of examples like that where when you reduce the number of options, then people don't try things that seem impossible or improbable. So, I would just argue that what's the harm in having people invest in ideas that may be premised wrong, but the fact is what they're going to attempt to accomplish can still be accomplished, and they wouldn't accomplish it if they didn't try, and they won't try if they think it theoretically can't happen. So, even though there is no free energy, the idea that there is might provoke somebody to do something that invents landing on the moon and such.
Well, I guess that's where this conversation kind of breaks down, because we're back to, you know, some pragmatic argument about the utility of something. I'm arguing that one of science's missions is, if you're going to argue that science has two jobs, making life better and defining the truth, I'm arguing that the part of science that is supposed to be defining the truth, you know, how the thing works, the Newton part, even the Faraday part. I mean, these are scientists who are just looking for answers to questions, and they didn't even speculate much on the utility of the information, just on the fact that this is information, this is a description of, you know, how something happens or why something happens or what happens. And that's really the mission of that branch of science. So I'm arguing from that branch, whatever you want to call that, theoretical, or you want to call it something else, but it's not as pragmatic in the sense that the successful landing on the moon, if we're going to use that as an example, for the scientist attempting to describe reality, landing on the moon means you have to actually, you know, not crashing, means that you actually have to say things that are true. Your axioms have to be true. And the description you're providing has to be the truth, or else you just crashed on the moon. You didn't land on the moon. So to argue that somehow science is successful because it landed on the moon, well, it's not successful in any way if you land on the moon and the astronauts all suffocated. So I would argue that you're in a state where you are failing to describe the truth, and that's why you look more like a religion, a dogmatic religion, based on scant evidence, than a disciplined occupation devoted to a principle of getting right answers, not wrong answers, of keeping astronauts alive, not killing them.
Well, what's missing from your argument is a metaphorical value that's at risk, based on this wrong answer. Now, you're saying, you're making a metaphor, comparing it to the life of an astronaut. I'm arguing that there is nothing that valuable at risk in the circumstance of having plus and minus wrong, or having a theory of kinetic energy that is less than explicitly true. So you haven't really defined any threat created by the circumstance of us applying a convenient duality.
Well, this is sort of taking more of a philosophical tone. I can make arguments that we can't be sure that, you know, Adolf Hitler was the worst possible outcome. That it would, like, if you were to go back in time and you had the opportunity to kill him, that it would be the right thing to do. You can't know that for certain, but you can know that the probabilities are pointing that way. And so the argument is this: I can't explicitly show you how much progress science would make if it fixes plus and minus, and it fixes kinetic energy, and it fixes wave-particle duality. But I can certainly make the argument that all the scientists should agree that if you're going to invest in what's probable, that you have to pay attention to the facts. And the facts are all the things, the evil, you know, that Hitler is, and the evil of false notions and fables and how they get human beings into trouble, how these fake notions of reality don't create a good outcome, and you would have better outcomes without them. I mean, I really can't prove that religion was bad for mankind, but I think just in putting together the volumes of books that were burned and the, you know, the information suppressed, would be evidence enough that, you know, progress was disabled, and that we could have had penicillin 100 years sooner. We could have known what a microbe was sooner. We could have done all this stuff so much sooner and saved so many millions of people all kinds of grief. But I really don't want to make these philosophical arguments. I just I think that the underlying premise that the truth should matter to physics, and that they should make a very good case as lawyers, they should prove their cases rather than exaggerate and claim they have perfect evidence, complete evidence, and even good reason to believe, when they don't really have any good reason to believe. Dark matter, for example.
Well, again, I might argue that you're making my argument, because you're saying there's good reason to believe, yet it's very improbable that one person is right and millions of other people didn't see it. That there was something kind of obvious and millions of other people didn't see it and only one person saw it, and that doesn't sound very realistic. And then I could argue that clearly the physicists are perfectly comfortable with even there being a little bit of ambiguity, or, well, it doesn't make perfect sense to have something called momentum and then have something called kinetic energy, that, you know, two conflicting formulas made out of the same thing, saying pretty much the same thing. Yeah, okay, that doesn't make much sense on the surface. But they accept it because that ambiguity, again, provides opportunity to diversify and try things that may be fruitful. So I'll stick with that argument.
Well, I guess I would counter that eventually it's going to be unacceptable to deny that there's enough information to draw conclusions that are in conflict with the current ambiguity, that you will eventually have to fix things that are broken, that the acceptance of something being different things won't be acceptable, and so these changes will have to be made, and they will be, the longer you wait to make them, the more of a credibility blow they're going to be, because the simple question would be asked, well, how did you make the mistake in the first place, and how? Why did it take you 300 years to fix it? So you're just putting off an inevitable accusation that the science is reckless, that the science isn't evidence-based, that the science doesn't, it isn't careful about what it invests in and how it directs its intellectual capital, and that it can't be, in fact, trusted, that scientists can't be trusted because they don't have any reverence for the truth as long as it gets them where they want to go. And again, it's just going to look like a religion in hindsight.
Well, as someone with 12 million subscribers and pretty much being a candidate for the papal see, I don't see a problem, right? Because science, I find it fun the way it is. I find it okay, and I'm comfortable with these little fudge factors. And no problem seen from where I'm positioned. My world, this seems completely controllable to my vision. Your dissent is just kind of a cranky, useless, irrelevant pile of cranky noise. So, and such.
Well, I guess we'll see who ends up on what ash heap. I know from my perspective, my vision, that it's clear mistakes have been made. It's clear the evidence isn't what it's been exaggerated to be. That many of the statements by science aren't well defined or defended. That they aren't even defendable as statements, entanglement, Heisenberg dualities, all of this, time isn't time is a dimension, and somehow it's possible to get to it, get to the future or the past. I mean, these are all things I think will evaporate in the future, and again, the longer it takes for them to be evaporated, the more of science that's going to be diminished because of it, because of it, the fact that it was like, you could argue, the Inquisition. It was closed-minded, and it didn't want to hear the argument, and it just dismissed it, and it's not going to look good, frankly. Science isn't going to look good.
Well, I don't see it as much of a threat. I just say that. I mean, obviously, all of Newton's mechanics has been completely converted into the new science. I mean, we're basically saying Newton invented kinetic energy when he obviously, as you pointed out, didn't. So the power of science to, you know, change the story, you know, rewrite the history, well, yeah, we've already shown we can do that really well. So I don't really see a problem in the future. Yes, I think you're right that kinetic energy will just mean momentum in the future, and they'll just slide that new definition in, and they'll do it in such a way as you'll never even know it happened. Just the same way they slid 1/2 mv² in and nobody even knew it happened. No one even knew. We switched from momentum to kinetic. No, nobody even noticed. So I don't think there's going to be a problem. Well, I guess I'll just counter with, I guess the people can fool all of the people all of the time, or almost. So, yes, meme engines and popularity and bandwagon, and that's all this really is. And it won't change until you're obligated to change, because somebody with integrity stands up and says, no, I'm not going to play this silly game anymore, and the truth is going to matter. So we'll see. So I guess we're some sort of brick wall, okay, in terms of the argument. I think there is evidence out there in the form of even the Mythbusters video that just sort of does point out that there's no sign of kinetic energy when you really do these experiments, and that there's no logic to even thinking that, you know, you could make 2 10-ton trains going 5 miles an hour with 1 5-ton train going 10 miles an hour. That somehow the energy of the smaller, lighter thing can somehow create 2 of the heavier things. You know, no, it's the same energy. And that logic is going to remain substantial and unassailable until there is this migration in opinion. So anyway, so we'll move on to the next subject, wave-particle duality and the double-slit experiments. Da-da-da-da-da. So, till the next time, this has been it's Draft Physics, right? Draft Physics and DebatePhysics.com video presentation. Until the next time and such.